So good evening, everybody. My name is Pumema Sheho and I'm moderating. Local government is where it actually all happens. Local government is not about political theatrics because it's in our municipalities where dignity lives or dies. It's where water comes out of road taps or not. It's where the potholes that ruin your car are. It is about the safety of your community. And more importantly, it is about making it work for all of us. So tonight, we're not having a national conversation. We're having a conversation that's a disciplined conversation that is going to be short, sharp, actionable points. And hopefully, because you are where the people are, we can hold you accountable. Joining me on the panel tonight, on my far left, not my far left, representing the PAC, Mr. J.K. Soroke. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Next to him, representing, is it good or are we just saying United for Change?
Yeah, good party.
Good party that's currently seeking a new calling card, Ms. Sarah Mabotsa, and our celebrant today. Thank you for sharing your birthday with us. And it shows real commitment that you're out here with us serving the people and not at home with your family. Ms. Kondofelo Boradi from Action SA, and closest to me, new kid on the block, National Spokesperson for Africa Maibuye, Mr. Sydney Baloyed.
Thank you.
Thank you all. So I'm going to start with you and saying 100-day action plan for Action SA if you get elected next year. Where would you start? Where would PAC. You've been in local government for many, many years. What are you going to do differently?
Look, there are various things that need to be in place for municipalities and local government to be effective. And those issues are supported by the laws of the country, the constitution, and so on. And they mean that the power, I wanted to point that out, the power rests with the residents, the community where we live. The power is also positioned with the service providers, the arms of the municipality who are responsible for making sure that service operates. These are the officials who work there. The third element that is also crucial is the councillors themselves. And this is where we come in as elected official or as the outcome of elections in a municipality. Now, we think the first 100 days should focus on getting the three-way partnership, as I've explained it, to work well together. And the pillars of that three-way partnership is to focus on the strength of the community by being very active agents in making municipalities to deliver their services and making their representatives as councillors to be responsive and accountable towards those specific communities. And the PAC is willing and open to deal with those issues straight on. And I think in the first 300 days, as you say, we should put our cards on the table and say what are our strengths and what do we want to achieve.
You have been part of government at local and national since the very beginning of our democracy. So that sounds like philosophy, but if you were to land it at ward level, what have you achieved in that time and what are you going to do differently?
No, the PAC has its own history out of, we participated in the CODESA negotiations. And those CODESA negotiations are a compromise between foes of the past. But that compromise also led to a constitution that is a hybrid. The PAC accepted that as a peace offering for communities and citizens to be active in a democratic state. That democratic dispensation is a two-way street. It's not a one-way street. Whilst it is based on political party power, political parties rule the roost.
I'm going to come back and give you an opportunity to answer my question. But I'm going to move to you. We spoke about the fact that Good is now changing its calling card. You've already nailed your colors to the mast by saying these are our partners going to the local government election. So how is Good this time around? You've been critical in some municipalities. How are you going to do things differently this time around with these partners and other people you don't want to work with?
Well, definitely. That's why we're calling ourselves Unite for Truth. So what we want to do, we want to give the South Africans different thing. For us to move to the next direction, we need to make sure that you know be held accountable. We need to make sure that we can be a very responsive party. We want to make sure that you communicate better. And if we can just check around like now, you know what, complaining about the issue of a service delivery where electricity is off. So we want to also go back to say that how can we be able to make sure that everybody in this, in Tswane, or not even Tswane, in South Africa at large, is getting a better server. And how we're going to be able to communicate with the clients and with our community, because we think that it should be a two-way. We cannot be, as the municipality just impose or as put, imposing, you know, the issue that we need. But we need to have like a collaborate to communicate with the residents of things. Say, what are your needs as the residents? And based on that, then we can be able to say, okay, this is the, you know, like they're giving out a manifesto to say what we need to be achieving. Let's say, for example, in terms of electricity, this is what you want to do. Maybe you want to move from a normal conventional electricity to solar. And the same thing in terms of the roads. What is it that you want to do to make sure that, you know, the flow of traffic, it's can be much better. So we want to come up with a way that we should be more innovative and be more responsive, like unlike the way we are doing it now in most of the other political parts, where you find that, you know what, they are sitting there in the corner and they're not communicating with the residents. So we want to be on the ground. We want to make sure that, you know, communicate with the residents, and we want to know what are the needs of the residents to move forward.
So you're saying to us that you're still thinking about how you're going to be saying to the communities and what it is that they want. You don't know what they want yet? You're not clear on where your position is?
No, definitely. Yeah, we are very clear. Remember, local government is clear, it's straightforward. We know that what are the needs of the community. I mean, it's all about water, electricity, infrastructure, making sure that, you know, there are job opportunities, the economy is growing, talking about the issue of tourism. So we know what is it that is needed, because there's no way that you can change the mandate of municipality. It's very clear. But the question is that how are you going to make sure that, you know what, you address all these issues? I mean, it's disheartening to find that, you know, the residents, you know, for example, they will open a call for sorting out electricity, only to find out, you know what, that query is being sorted out after 2 months. No, that's not what we should be doing. So if we get a call, we should be able to respond immediately. We should be able to capacitate the municipality. We should be able to have people who are professional in the municipality so that they can be able to be responsive when that's needed.
Okay. Kolovelo, you're part of Action SA. This is your second local government election as a political formation. And Action SA, after the last one, was actually part of a number of coalitions that collapsed. So go at coalitions, it is looking like they are going to be a feature of all our structures of government going forward. So what are you doing differently going into this next cycle so that you're not part of those collapses?
I think that we cannot guarantee that coalitions will not collapse, but what we can guarantee is that Action SA will always put residents first. So if we go into a coalition and we feel that this coalition is not prioritizing residents, then we will definitely pull out of that coalition. Because at the heart of it, like you said, local government is where people get to experience government firsthand. At national, it's policies, but shares whether your pothole is fixed or not. So if we are in a coalition with a party that is not putting residents first, then definitely we will collapse that coalition. We don't regret going out of the coalitions that we went out of. For example, when we were in Tswale with the DA, we felt that residents were not getting services, especially residents in the townships. We went out of that coalition, have new coalition partners. And that is what we have done. We've literally transformed Tswane. You see that there's service delivery everywhere, the biggest of which is building state capacity. You saw us invest in machines to cut grass. I mean, everything was put out on tender. We are now doing streetlights. Streetlights were put out on tender. We are now buying our own water trucks. We are buying cherry pickers. In fact, we've bought 100 cherry pickers. We've bought 17 waste trucks. So we've built internal capacity. We've advertised 300 jobs. All of that in 1 year. And that is, it speaks to the heart of you can't stay in a relationship that's not working. And the basis of us going into government is to serve residents better. So we've made a good decision by giving that marriage. And residents of Tshwane can agree that they are now seeing changes in their areas. And this time it's not only servicing people in the townships or people in the suburbs, but it's servicing all residents and holistically.
So you were very clear going into both elections, the local government and then the national, that there are parties you will never work with. And there are probably people who gave you their vote based on that. You don't feel it, the betrayal of those voters when you go into a coalition with a party you said you wouldn't go into a coalition like in Tshwane?
What we had said was, and this was at the national level, that we would not, in 2021, that we would not work with ANC based on the record of how they've dealt with corruption in the past. And we went into a coalition government with the DA, the ACDP, and the IFP, and the Plum Front Plus in Tshwane. But as we progressed, we realized that they don't share venues. They wanted to prioritize Sobe's, the suburbs. And that's what we did. We put ourselves aside as actionists and said, what is it that residents of Tshwane want? Yes, we said we didn't want to work with ANC, but what is it that the resident wants? The resident wants services. So we put our pride aside and said, let us work with this coalition. And that has worked for us. That has worked for residents. That it's testament to the fact that now we've got a funded budget. People, grass is cutting Winterveld, grass is also cutting Waterkloof. So it was a good decision. And it shows, the saying goes that a wise man changes his mind. We have done that and it has worked for us. And we will keep on doing it. It will not be
People can, what you're saying is people can expect you to say one thing and maybe change your mind?
No, people can expect us to prioritize their needs over egos.
I hear that. So new kids on the block. You're going into your first local government election. A couple of weeks ago, I had a conversation with your president, and he says you're contesting every single ward all over the country. Are you ready?
Thank you. Thank you, Pumi. Let me just say, happy birthday one more time. Kulu fellow, you are spot on in calling me and calling us new kid on the block. That means we have never been in power before. So there is nothing to come and spin in this conversation. And there is no 100 days to share with you of how we once did this or that. We do, however, have 100 days of our own, which I can share with you, of how, since we came into being, how we started, where we are, and where we're going.
You are untested. What can you tell a voter is the reason they should trust you with their vote? That you're not just hoping to be a small party kingmaker that is going to go into a coalition of convenience?
Okay. So the first correction I would like to make, we are not a small party, but we can get to that later. What I can tell the voters is that we've had 32 years of South Africa being called a free and democratic country. But you go out into every village, every township, you'll find many places where the taps have long stopped running. You'll find many places where the schools have got more broken windows than ones that are intact. You'll find many places where people no longer drive on the left side of the road, but they drive on whatever else is left of the road. We don't think that's how a country should be. That can only tell you that for far too long, our leaders have promised change, but delivered decline. And that cannot be the kind of South Africa all of us who are sitting here want.
Sydney, that sounds like philosophy. I'm asking you for a practical municipal function that you have identified, that you say, we've got the expertise, this is where we want you. We want you, after 100 days of putting us in the seat, this is what you will see as a change.
After 100 days of putting us in power, you will see water will run every day. You will see that your clinics will have medicines every day. You see that your roads will be maintained every day. Those are the basic things that people, anywhere you go, want to see. They do not want bells and whistles. They want things that can make them wake up in the morning and go to work and still come back and find that their households are intact.
So what do you think will make voters say, these guys who come from lots of different parties, including the president of your party, who comes from a number of parties, three in fact, why should they believe that this is not political ambitionism, but a true, we want to serve the people?
Okay. So I do not come from any political party myself. I come from a professional environment where I worked in broadcasting and advertising for exactly 3 decades. And in that space, I have been privileged to speak to a lot of people that we had entrusted our power, because the power belongs to us. And we entrust it onto people that we believe can lead us honestly. So what we did at Africa My Way Movement, we started with a consultation process that visited every single province of South Africa. And when you say you are consulting South Africans, you are not going to be delivering speeches. You are not going to be running rallies. You are going to listen to people. So what we are doing, it's a mandate from the people, meaning that everything that we're going to be implementing, it's informed by what the people told us during the roadshows of these consultations.
Dr. Jig, the PAC is very clear about where it stands ideologically. Do you think you can work well within a coalition that is lots of different people that are different ideologically to you to deliver services to the people?
Yes, it's possible for coalition to succeed. Actually, coalitions are part and parcel of the political program all over the world. Political parties join on the minimum issues that they agree upon. And with the plural system that we have in South Africa, it is possible that some of the parties, particularly concerned with communities that have similar issues and similar challenges, can form a coalition and succeed.
So what have we been getting wrong so far? I mean, we see service delivery protests are on the rise. South Africans are not angry anymore. I think they're just exhausted. We're exhausted because nothing is working. So what can you offer that is different? What are you saying needs to happen? If you were to pinpoint 3 things that you believe will turn around the situation in municipalities, any one of you can take that, turn around the situation in municipalities, and what places your party best to do that? You had a long speech, but I'm going to come back to you. I'll come to you, ma'am.
I think what you need to do is go back to the foundation, look at the Constitution. Section 152, that is to guarantee basic needs. Just make sure that people have water. It's not complicated. But I think what puts this mess in municipalities is the issue of service providers. So literally, government has outsourced its roles to tenders. That is why people don't have water. You find that people will destroy infrastructure so that they can be contracted to fix it. So it's very easy to fix local government. And Tshwane, we are showing that we can do that. You build state capacity. What you do is we employ people to do the job on a full-time basis. We want to fix potholes. We've bought 2 jet patchers. That means the municipality can start fixing potholes from 8 o'clock in the morning all the way to 10 o'clock in the evening. They can just do that because it's our resources. But a lot of the municipalities rely on consultants. They rely on service providers. And you will never survive, even any business, you can never survive on outsourcing all of your functions. You need to have some sort. And the sad part about all of this is these service providers are not even honest people. They extort the municipality. So something like this bottle of Coke, if I were buying it directly from the store, it could be 10 rand. But you're buying it from a tenderpreneur, you're buying it at 50 rand. Now, what municipality can survive on that?
these municipalities are basically collapsing. The other thing is also a lot of these municipalities got excited. They started off selling all of its assets, and now they don't have any asset that they can capitalize. You saw in Tshwane, we had the investment summit where we are saying we are putting our properties on the market for long-term leasing so that we can generate revenue. But 50 years down the line, we still have an asset. Many of the municipalities just sold everything. They've got nothing now. They are walking around with begging goals to Treasury. And remember, Treasury only gets its money from a small pool. South Africa's got a very high unemployment rate. So it's very few people that are paying into the taxes. So our budget has shrunk. Now we must do what? We are now reduced to beggars. We must go overseas and ask for money. That is why everyone is frustrated and depressed. It all starts at local government. Reduce service providers, build state capacity, maximize your assets. We've got assets like now. We've got, like, for example, we are in Johannesburg now. There's a golf course here. The Joburg municipality, they could have used that golf course to raise revenue from it, but they're charging those people that are leasing it 2 rand. What municipality can charge a golf course for 2 rand? We're not maximizing our assets. It's simple. You just need to stick to the basics. The Constitution spells out what you need to do in local government. What you need to do is build state capacity, and that's all. It's not rocket science. It's very, very simple. It's just a political will.
Sarah, you're shaking your head. Is it?
No, I'm partially like the demand worker.
Indeed, the sweating of assets is a good thing. But our observation is that there's a problem of cultural change in the municipalities.
What does that mean?
Meaning that people can be professional, they can have their own skills and qualifications. But we find that, you know, there's no willing power to say that, you know what, I always call it like an intrinsic motivation, the drive that has to take one to work. So what most of them are doing, you know, they just go there, you know, and like collect the kind of a salary. But I think it's upon us as the executive to say that how can we able to change the way the officials are operating. The other thing that we also need in Tshwane, like for example, we have established what we call consequence management. Any other municipality, again, you find that they don't even have performance agreement. How can we be able to assess and make sure that a person is doing a job, whereas they don't have a performance agreement? So it's some of the things that we are looking at. But again, the issue of accountability, we mustn't downplay it. It's very important. If a person knows that, you know, he's not doing what's supposed to be doing, they should be held accountable. And once we do that, then we'll be able to do it. But the other thing that is very important, we as the municipality, we have to create an enabling environment for economic growth. Because if we don't do that, obviously we're going to have a problem of unemployment. Continuously, we're going to have, you know, people who are staying there hungry. Like, for example, in the city of Tshwane, we've got close to 22% of people who are living under poverty line. What does that mean? It means that people who are going to bed hungry. So what do we do as the municipality? That's why we have to involve the private sector to assist us in those things. We need to go back to the private sector and say, how can you be able to assist us in terms of creating this job? Take our intents, come up with some program that will be able to assist our community too.
The private sector is busy being the private sector. They've got shareholders that they are accountable to. DJ King wanted to add something.
Yes, my point is critical on the choice of councillors that people vote for or that these parties bring about. Because there's enormous evidence that shows that most of the councillors in the past 15, 30 years cannot read, they are illiterate, cannot understand numbers, they cannot even interpret a balance sheet. This is a big issue. That creates a councillors that are big in numbers but low in quality. So those changes must start there. We need councillors who understand people, and we need to upgrade the quality of leadership at the council.
So what have you done in your party to ensure that who you put forward is that kind?
We are emphasizing on a system of selection of councillors who are chosen on merit. Not on the basis of popularity and so on. Who can bring value to the municipality, including in debating with other parties, because quite clearly we're in the age of coalition. So that aspect of councillors really understand what they're doing. It's very important and critical. The second issue is we have problems with our communities. A large section of South Africans do not have civic education. They don't understand their roles as ratepayers, as residents of a community, because that is where power rests, and so that they can interact very qualitatively, quantitatively with councillors, with officials in the system, who are also running a bloated system, people paid very heavily and delivering nothing. So all that I'm saying needs proper education, because you cannot be liberated and fail to live in a street that is tarred, fail to see problems where you live in, but do not respond. This is a partnership that the community and the councillors, or the leadership, or the various political parties, including the PAC, should establish and create, because we will not go anywhere if we have a framework that really overwhelms and defeats the purpose.
Well, I love that you bring up the issue of the community being an active participant in the municipal governance too, right? But whose job is it to make sure that the community understands what your parties do, what your councillors, what your ward councillors do, and what they do when they sit in the council chambers? And which also brings me to the point, and maybe you can take this, is more and more South Africans are not showing up at the polls.
That's true.
So how are you going to ensure that your people show up to vote for you? Because you're not a small party. So what is that you have to do? So serious, we haven't seen your numbers. And I'm interested to know what it is that you are doing to drive those numbers, that small party that you are not, so that we can see it at the poll. What are you doing?
Okay, so if you come to Africa My Boya Movement, you will be introduced to a department that is unlike any other department that you'll find across all of the parties in South Africa. We've got a unit called Social Assistance. This is a department that is currently looking at interventions that we can do to help our people right now, not when we're in power. Because political parties, almost all of them, they will tell you that when we're in power, we'll do X, Y, Z. We have taken it upon ourselves, and it's a huge challenge that we've given ourselves, that we want to be able to do things that we can do for our people right now. I'll give you one example.
I was about to ask you for it, because you said you're looking at doing them. So I was going to ask, you're not doing anything yet?
So we are doing a lot already. So you find, if there's a community where there is no water, you will find an opportunistic political party raising money, sometimes up to R500,000 or even beyond R1,000,000, just to bus people to go and toitoi and protest. We have taken a deliberate approach that instead of raising money, busing people to go and protest for water, through our social assistance unit, we can raise 30, 40, 50,000 rand and go and put a borehole in that community. These are things that are not on paper. We are doing them right now. And the more we roll these plans across the country, people will show up at the polls and they'll vote for us.
Okay, but you haven't told us where you put your borehole. That's fine.
Yes, I have a problem with that. Because you know what that does? It's the same thing with food parcel.
You have a problem
with the solution. Okay. Of Burn taking that 50,000 rand and going to build a borehole for people.
So because do you have a problem with that again?
Well, no. There's a budget. Every municipality has something called the IDP, where they plan on what needs to be prioritized, right? So the community, what we would do, instead of getting that money and building a borehole for them, we would get the community to go to the IDP meeting and demand that they must have water, because it's their money. Why should we take our organization money? That's why I'm giving the example of people buy food parcels to feed people so that they can go and vote in the election.
I
asked that we have a disciplined conversation, and part of that part of the discipline is also about accountability. You have to listen to what she has to say. I'm asking.
You know, absolutely. I'm with you. And I am listening to her. But I mean, this is not...
Women like to buying food parcels, getting people to vote for you, making a bubble for them. They know that this bubble was brought by Sibu, so we're going to vote for Sibu. And I'm saying that that is what is wrong with South Africa. And that is why the vote, there's voter apathy. What we need to do as all political parties, we need to create active citizenry. The citizens need to know that if they want a borehole, their borehole is there in the budget. The municipality have money. We need to hold the municipalities accountable. We need to prioritize getting the borehole and not cater there. Because a large percentage of the budget, if you go to government meetings, they're eating breakfast, lunch and supper. They even have dessert. Why must we give politicians food when they're at work? Do you get food at work? No, we do. You must bring us cup tea. So we said, let us prioritize the basics. Section 152 of the Constitution tells us that the money that we give in our budgets and the IDPs need to go towards the community's basic services. So I would rather say we need to get our community members to be involved in the processes. You need to be involved in the IDP process, that is the budgeting. You need to be involved in the annual report. The annual report is now where you come back and say, okay, government, you've had 12 months of implementing what you said you're going to do in the IDP. How did you spend our money? And that is in line with what the AG report. Then it tells us, okay, this is what we did. We built roads. We did what. We need to have our community members attending those things. We would fund them attending that IDP to hold government accountable, because then it doesn't matter who they vote for, but they know their rights. And what that will do is going to make sure that if an action is elected to be in government and in the 5 years don't deliver, then they know we can now try somebody else. Then we can try somebody else. But for us to buy a community's thing so that they vote for us, that is very wrong. And that is what has corrupted our democracy.
So back to my question, how confident is Action SA in the mobilizing? Are you getting people to those IDP meeting?
We are doing that. Our philosophy is service deliverism. We deliver services. We are guided by the Constitution. It tells us, local government, your job is to do 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And we focus on that. You'll not see us distributing food, drink, funny things. We're just making sure that we cut grass. We're making sure that we give people water. We repair potholes. We employ staff where it's necessary, build the retainer capacity. We fix things that are meant to be done with the budget. And we are very strict holding people accountable. If we're supposed to spend this money on this particular thing, we make sure we do. And if you don't spend it on that, then you get fired. And that's all that government really has to do. And that is what Action SA will do. And that will give us support, because people don't want complicated things. People just want their grass cut. They want to drive, like you said, they want to drive on the left side of the road where there will not be a purple. That's what we will do.
I do want to talk about, because one of the things that we hear a lot of, and we're watching the Madlanga commissions, we're watching every commission on TV right now, the issue of how municipal money is spent.
Yes.
And holding people accountable also requires consensus within that council chamber. And any one of you can take the question, how do you believe that needs to be tackled? Because it's about the numbers. It's about who's going to vote for who. So how does that get tackled? Let's start with you, Ntate Jackie.
Okay. Yes. I think the numbers in council are very important. That's why you have coalitions, basically. And I want to cite one example where, even if you don't have the numbers, you can bring a qualitative change in council. You remember when the DA was running Johannesburg, the PAC called for a vote of no confidence in the mayor then. But because we were a one representative party in council, no one took us seriously. But we mobilized various other parties who are there, and the DA councillor then fell. That's because we were pointing out some of these internal problems that come with bureaucracy, holding things and not being transparent with processes of governance. The outcome of it, or what happened afterwards, is something else. But what is it? Yes. I'm just saying, you can win a victory on a small scale that has an enormous impact. But you have to control the impact. That is the add-on I'm saying, which we did not have the capacity to do. But what you need as political parties and councillors, I emphasize, have quality representatives who can be accountable on a person-to-person basis, on a community basis, street-to-street basis, with the communities where they live. Councillors cannot be from outside the communities they serve. They must respond to the issues immediately as councillors, and also look at the quality of the workforce we have at council level, because this is where the problem is. I mean, you have instances where these damages, these sabotages of electricity and so on are done by the Tsotsis in collaboration with staff members. So there's no loyalty to the common good, the common cause of the communities as a whole. And we have to make people be aware of these things. It doesn't matter what political party you come from. We need quality service. We need a good quality life for everybody who's in the city. We don't want to be living in congested, dirty and filthy places. Nobody wants to live like that. And we should stick to those standards and implement them. Have a manner in which the political parties, the partners and so on can keep to those standards. It's as simple as that for us.
Sarah, you want to add?
Yes, I think, you know, what is also important in the municipality, we need ethical leadership. We need, like, if we are councillors or executive, we should be able to be on the ground. I'll give an example in terms of the grant. If you look at what the AG's report is saying, most of the municipalities didn't spend, especially on the conditional grant. There hasn't been. Most of the time, we find that, you know, we are only relying on the officials to give us report. Well, what we're seeing on the ground and what is being represented on the portal is completely different thing. So we need to be on the ground. We need to wear our boots and go there and check, you know, because we have to make sure that we play an oversight role. As councillors, it's one of our responsibilities to make sure that we do that. But if we don't do that, we're going to continue, you know, reporting the same thing over and over again, taking that grant, as we call it, a rollover grant, until treasury is becoming very tired. So I think it's high time that, you know what, we put our foot down and say, this is what we need to do. If the officials are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, then we have to call them accountable. I think in that way, most of the things will change. But other than that, like from the good part, we're saying for people to listen to us and hear us, again, we should be on the ground. I just want to give you an example. Say in terms of the service delivery issues, imagine if we as councillors, we can be able to go in whatever word to say, you know what, a particular member of the public, what are the issues that are affecting you? And then did you, like, for example, if it's just like water, did you put up the ref number? Did you phone municipalities and what are they saying? Then you take that ref number. Then you escalate it to say, you know what, this is what this particular resident is saying. The water has been cut off for whatever time. Can the officials go and sort it out? But if you don't do that, then you're just relying on the officials again, you know, all this ref number that we are seeing everywhere. I think it's high time that, you know what, we just go down to the ground, down to the basic, and say, these are the things that you need to be done.
Speaking of going to the ground, before I get called a dictator, I'm going to open it up to the floor. Say, hey, for people on the floor, anybody who has a question, a comment, wants to add something about what... And I'm going to also look for Sia, that I can't see. The lights are in my eyes. Where's the microphone? Okay. Sia, there's a gentleman here in the front, and two in the front, and one at the back. And we're going to take, so what I'm going to do is we're going to take his question and respond before we move to the next one. Also, short, sharp question so that we can respond clearly.
Thank you so much. For me, I'll literally be short, less than 1 minute. Contribute about 30 seconds and ask my question. Yeah, open your time and stop me if I don't deliver service delivery. So thank you so much and happy birthday, Hirumsiu Kudovelo, my former colleague. It's such a privilege to share this space with you on this special AM. Greetings to the incredible panel as well, including my brother Sydney from Africa Maybe Movement. I'm honored to be able to contribute. For me, quickly.
You just greet a bit. Lerahini.
I just put notes so that I don't wobble and I'm actually contributing seriously. So for me, I think the municipal crisis turns around the day that we finally accept that local government was never designed
to be an arena for political battles or theories. It's a crucial for pure service delivery. Water, electricity, safety, infrastructure. Nothing ideological, nothing theoretical, just execution. And until municipalities are treated as service delivery institutions, rather than political battlefields, we'll continue seeing the collapse and municipal meltdown across the majority of 78 municipalities. Yes, there are pockets of hope. I'm answering the question for today. Whether it's what we've seen in Tshwane or even in places like Cape Town and local government successes. And I say this very lightly because I don't want my boss, Sydney, thinking I'm campaigning for my political hope. But it's fair to acknowledge that the emergence of the right leadership and right coalition arrangements can give a glimpse of hope and invoke public confidence when good things are happening, good stories happen in local governments. So yes, Pumi, municipalities can be rescued before 2026, but only communities, as you were saying, Sarah, also hold the administrative and political arms accountable and demand nothing short of excellence from their local government. Thank you. Question.
My question. You've had ample time. You've had more than 2 minutes. So we're going to move to the next one, which was over the casinos. But you know what's wonderful? Is they're going to be here afterwards and you can engage them directly. Okay, let's give other people a chance. Thank you.
Hi, the intro will be short. I'll just direct to Miss Action and say happy birthday. None of you mentioned that you guys are going to serve the people, which is what I believe municipalities should be. They should not be, businesses. They should not be focusing on accountability issues, serving the people. Action and say, I have a very big problem. As someone who voted for you guys in the previous local municipality elections, in the previous low-end national elections, you guys shut down a ShopRite that serves the people in Bronkhorstspruit. I don't care how much accountability, how much tax they've owed, how much rent they owed, but that affects the people. That changes the 100 rand, bro. 3 tins of fish and 1 loaf of bread to 1 tin of fish, 1 loaf of bread, and 3 taxes now. And you people say we're putting people first. I am vehemently against that. I have seen the things you guys have brought. You guys cut grass. You guys fix potholes, whatever, the people. And in Spell, it's not a business. It's out serving the people. None of you have said public servants. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. There's the question in the front, the gentleman in the front here.
We're waiting for the first question.
This is indicative of the... Remember I said to you, the people are beyond angry. They're exhausted now. Someone's car.
Good evening.
Before you go on, please. Somebody's car? Close the door so we can hear you. Otherwise...
Good evening, everyone. My name is Singita Chauke. And I say I'm very pleased to see Mr. Sydney Paloi as someone that we rate highly as the Tsonga Nation. I have one question for Banbaka Maspala. Why call it Chabana? I'm from Komi village, you know, I'm sure, because our neighboring village is Maonis, where Floyd Chivambu comes from. Why should the people from Komi Chabana vote for Floyd Chivambu and My Way Movement?
You've really taken the question back home, and that has, it runs the risk of making people suspect that Africa Maibuya is a political organization that's established to bring solutions to the people of Kolis Chabane or the people of Malamlela or the people of the village that Floyd Chivambu comes from. So I'm putting it this way so that even as I answer you, just understand that I am taking it, that you are using it as an example. We do not want to be voted for by the people of Kolis Chabane only, which is why we've got structures everywhere in South Africa. Every sub-region in this country, every region, every province, including Kolis Chabane Municipality. So they must vote for Africa Maibuya Movement.
because for 32 years, they have outsourced their power to leaders who have further outsourced that mandate to criminal syndicates. If you are a South African and you are following developments in the news, you know what I am talking about. The kind of scary things that we hear about in the commissions that are rolling out are things that wouldn't happen if the people that we've entrusted our power to were ruling this country openly, transparently, and truthfully. So we are going to do exactly what I am saying. We are going to run a place like Collins Chabad Municipality and any other municipality in the country transparently, truthfully, and honestly, instead of outsourcing the power that you've entrusted in our hands to criminal syndicates, which is some of the things that people are so embarrassed to hear today.
One more thing, just to respond to what you also reward show. I think it's basically asked the action and say about us shutting down the store in Bronco Spirit. And I'm glad that you did acknowledge that we are doing so ripping by the cutting grass and all of that. But in my opening remarks, I did make the point that HNSA will always prioritize the residents. We will do what is best for residents. And you will recall last year, in January, we lost another children because they were consuming things they were buying from the local other shops. And that is where if what he told is life was lost, then you are going to expect us to act because that's one to life too many, you know? So what we did was we found that a lot of the businesses were not compliant. So that ShopRite that could cut off, and it's many that we cut off on a daily basis. They don't have a health certificate. They're not even registered. They don't have trading licenses. And the member with health, this is... You are selling food that people massing. And if you send me that people massing...
That's awkward. Hey, give me a hug.
Johannesburg Thunder. Okay. So I say you always prioritize residents and we will not, if there's a loss of life, then we are nearly going to act and we are going to act very harshly to people that we feel are putting people's lives in danger. A lot of the businesses and they've cut off across the body, all seven regions. And so it could be your suburbs where we shut down a pick and play at a pick and pay at Uwe Imol because they didn't have a health certificate. So if there's issues of hygiene, we are going to shut down. And we are not oblivious to the fact that these companies employ people. But what is priority is that we must always protect people's lives. So and what we have done is that we make sure that you get training. So if you start a business and you don't know what documents you must have, there's training that is run at Swane House where they let you know what sort of certificates that you need to have. And the health inspectors will come and check whether you are compliant. When you are compliant, you are good to go. We have to. The reason why our municipalities are in the state of chaos is because people are too scared to implement BIMOs. A lot of the people in Soweto owe billions because people are scared to cut off the power. So the other reasons why we are cutting off businesses is because they don't pay the electricity. We have businesses that owe the municipality 26 million. Now, can I tell you a story? Eskom will give us electricity worth 100 rand. They don't care if only people pay 20 rands worth of electricity and the other 80% is stolen. They want their money. They want their 100 rand. So as a municipality, we are definitely going to cut your power off until you pay us because it's not acceptable that you can owe 26 million rand. Because remember, the money we used to pay Eskom, now we've got a very large Eskom debt, right? The money we used to pay Eskom is money that must be used to afford service delivery. So if that business is not paying electricity, it means they are stealing from the very same residents they are claiming to employ. Because if you're owing 26 million rand, we must find that 26 million to pay Eskom. And that money we are going to find it somewhere around fixing potholes, providing water, making sure that there's electrification. Because we must also not be oblivious to the fact that we live in an unequal society. So you've got your suburbs and you've got people that are living in informal settlements. We've got people here in Swan and even in Johannesburg where they don't have access to running water. We must send trucks to them on a daily basis. Now, we must find money to pay for those trucks because if we don't pay, they don't go. And remember, water is a human right. It's part of those Section 152s. They will take us to court. So definitely we are going to go after companies like that. And we have meetings with them. They are part of our stakeholders. And we tell them, guys, make a payment arrangement. We get it. But you cannot pay and expect to still function and be profitable just because you are employing people. So that is what we are doing. And I think if a lot of municipalities do those things, we will not have municipalities going to treasury with begging bowls because they'll become self-sustaining. But people are scared to hold businesses accountable, but not in Tshwane. And not actually say we hold everybody accountable. Whether you are a big business person or you are a spaza shop Subway in Hammanskraal, you are all treated equally because at the end of the day, our loyalty is always to the residents.
Point well made, sir.
Yeah, I just want to add on to what my colleague say. It's not true that we just shut down the spaza shop. We normally issue conservation notice and we give the residents or business an opportunity to correct it. And when it comes to the second time, when you find out, you know, they didn't comply, that's when we are closing out the shops. So we're saying as well, we are open for business, but we want people to run business correctly. She's right. Imagine in a case where you find that, you know what, we left that shop open. 2 minutes down the line, the shop get fired. So who am I going to be playing? They're going to say, no, let's sit off turnovers here. Now this shop is big. It has been down. So it's up to us, as well as the residents out there, to make sure that we've been truth. And even the business owner to talk the truth, to say, you know what, I've got this conservation notice and I didn't comply to that. Well, that's why the city of Tshwane is shutting down. But we are saying we're going to continue to shut it down until people comply to what they're supposed to be doing. We're also not going to be apologetic about enforcing our Bibles.
Well, I do want to talk about the theatrics a little bit just now because it is also, we've got two more questions. Sia, please, you... Okay. Yes, sir.
And Yaku.
Hello, Yaku.
Bixi, not from South Africa. There's a look from the different eyes to what you are. Huh?
We appreciate you being here, Yaku.
Yes, thank you much. What I see here, it is not encouraging. For me, you talk about accountability. How do you keep people accountable, actually, from different parties? Saying that actually in a different way, what is your idea about an elective mayor? Just that is the figure, head figure actually of a municipality that actually everyone calls after. Because if you see South Africa in general, we run after leaders, not after parties. How do you want to overcome that?
So if I understand you correctly, you're asking about direct elections?
Direct elections. Did you have your party elections and including a mayor election? So that the mayor actually select his own executive and is being accountable actually towards the parties that actually are being voted to.
Okay, so an interesting dynamic that's from an outside view. How do you see you started out this evening talking about how our system of voting works. And maybe you want to pick up on this question of, is it still the right way that we are voting? Because we know that the proportional representation really was about forging a nation at a time when there were many anxieties from many different spaces about how a coast freedom South Africa would look and who would be excluded because of the numbers. So the question around, is it time to re-engage direct, particularly at municipal level, directly electing mayors?
There has been a system that is being under review, constant review in the electoral, particularly at local government level, mostly on a three-way system. And I think this incremental changes will ultimately lead to a total review of the political power, political party base election of leaders. Because some of the political parties may not have the quality leadership that's needed, but have a majority. There may be individuals who are leaders of society coming from the social movement.
Because we now do have independents stand for elections independently.
Yes. But the system we have of political parties has its own flaws and weaknesses, particularly With regard to the way in which political parties have conducted themselves currently. A political party confines even the policy or drive that the mayor could have. I mean, he may not necessarily have the backing of his own party to make the necessary changes in a local municipality. So, but the changes after 30 years should come about now. We must have a review of the electoral act, local municipality elections, and also look at things like, you see, the municipalities are bloated. You know, they're very big and deliver very little. Some of them are done so for political expediency, because the political party that was in power for a long period in the past 30 years has been using that for self-interest. Now, we have to review and change the electoral act, including the power vested into ward councillors or ward leaders and their power within the municipality. And I totally agree. At some stage, we will have to have independent mayors.
You want to add? No, I actually feel that in the local government elections, we've announced who our mayoral candidate was. We've profiled him. In fact, when we were contesting at national government, we even told South Africans who the ministers would be. So we are fairly transparent. It's not that vote for Action SAU, then later on you get to find out who's the mayor. We profile them. You know exactly who they are, what they've done, what they promised to do, what is their background, what are their qualifications. So we are very transparent at that. And I think that one of the reasons why we do have political parties is we must look at South Africa's history. Because if you leave it to individuals, and running elections is very expensive, so it will always be the rich that get to participate in politics. And for our country, I don't think we are at that level yet. So that is why you still need to have this balancing factor. We are not there yet. We are the most unequal society in the world, and we need to balance that gap. But I do agree that we need to have quality leaders that come forward. That is why it's very important for political parties to tell the voters that this is who we are going to elect as a mayor, not for you to get surprised once you have voted. I think that is unacceptable, to be surprised later on.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. So, hi. Observation and then a quick question. So what I've observed is that we've inherited a system and we haven't contextualized it to South Africa. And I know I'm saying that very simplistically, but we've inherited this electoral system that really doesn't serve people in the rural areas. If I think of where my mom comes from, just in Pretoria, Brits, Rabokal, where they had running water before this democratic system was happening, and now they have nothing. They're having to buy and get water bussed in through JoJo tanks and the health risks in there. I don't even need to tell you about that. So my question was, and I'm glad you kind of touched on it, is does this democratic system that we have actually serve us? Or is it time for us to actually consider an overhaul and figure out a way that actually serves every South African? Because we're sitting here and we're debating about municipal elections and municipalities delivering, but we're not talking about the people in the rural areas. We're talking about the people in metropolitan areas. They're not the only South Africans, and their needs are very different to ours. So how are we going to have a democratic system that actually serves everybody in South Africa? And since I heard you talk about getting people to go to the IDP, who's educating people on that? How much budget do each of you have in your political parties to educate your constituents? Because right now, it serves you not to educate them, because then you can continue running business as usual. So what are your budgets for that?
I think it serves those who are currently in government that people stay uneducated, and those who have been in government for more than 30 years. But I think that your situation in Brits is not as a result of the design of our political system. I think it's politicians who are masquerading, it's business people masquerading as politicians. So there's nothing wrong with our political system. The problem is the party that was in place that chose to go with the water cracks.
because they wanted to make business. So we must be very careful. That's why it's important to know who the mayor is going to be, because we don't want business people masquerading as civil servants. You must vote for someone who will be a civil servant. And we said that in Tshwane. One of the reasons what we have done as a government, we've started investing in our own infrastructure. The reason why your mom doesn't have water in Brits is because they decided to commercialize water and not build state capacity, not invest in the infrastructure. So when for the last 30 years, there hasn't been any investment. They haven't built reservoirs to make sure that people get water. They haven't invested in the pipes to make sure that water is supplied to the different areas. And that is a problem. So we can change the system and have independence. But if you don't have the political will to make sure that you've built state capacity, then there will always be water cracks coming to deliver water. You need a government that is driven by civil servants, as activists, not politicians or not business people, that are going to make sure that they build proper state infrastructure.
Yeah, I also think that it's not correct to question democracy itself. Democracy is the best thing that ever happened in South Africa. It allows us the space to ventilate, to approach issues and discuss them like we are doing right now. The shape of democracy that we need must be people-powered. In other words, it must not be a democracy that is driven by the interest of a tiny few or an opportunistic criminal class or other people who are not looking at the interest of the majority. And our democracy, and I don't want to say our democracy is here. I want to say that our democracy should be able to be what we ourselves define and what works for us. And we must define it and have the latitude of defining it the way we want. In the rural communities, for instance, there's a dual system. A dual system that is cultural and traditional with leaders who own, on behalf of the people, portions of land. If you look at that system, It is not utilized effectively to help people have residents develop the rural community and bring it to up to scale with modern societies in the major cities. Most of the people come from rural communities. If we were developing our democracy from the rural communities, I think it would be something else compared to democracy of the rich, of the middle class. So democracy has shapes and sizes. And it has colors and shades, but it is our responsibility as citizens to shape that democracy. And I would really hesitate to question democracy, because the alternative is dictatorship. It is authoritarianism. It is what we had. And when people talk about apartheid, some of the people do not understand. The apartheid said it itself was a democracy, because people could vote and so on. But it was a tiny majority, a section of the people who were voting there. And the reality of apartheid was suppression and confining people to particular places, silencing them and not being able to talk. So the democracy we had has some benefits, that the benefit of the right of assembly, the right of choosing your own, all of this. Those rights are very fundamental and they are good for society.
That's we are going to stop you there. Yes. I'm going to give you 30 seconds and I'm going to give you 30 seconds. See, are there any more questions or can I close? Okay.
So it is true, I agree with Ntate Jake. The solution for South Africa lies in us having to settle to putting the right people, people with the right quality, with the right credentials. Gone are the days when someone who just wears a T-shirt of a political party and dances more than everybody else and sing more than me can just become a mayor or become a councillor. Let's get people that can finally do right for South Africa, because it's most embarrassing. You come from an era where we dreamt of a day when apartheid will be gone. But you are sitting there now. When you think back of the years before 1994, you can think of a lot of great things that used to happen in homelands. It's embarrassing to have to admit it, because those are the structures that we wanted to see gone. They are gone now. And they are replaced by just decline everywhere. Money is there. South Africa is a very rich country. If it wasn't, the money will be finished, because they are stealing it every day anyway. So let's get the right people
in power.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you're quite right. Let's get ethical leadership. Let's make sure that when we go out to vote and vote for the right people. But the other thing that is very important, before you go for the voting, check the manifesto of each and every party. I'll give an example. You find out, you know, like in the Good Party, what we are advocating for equality. We are advocating for special claim because the issue that the lady is raising out there, where you find that there are other people who are staying somewhere in the rural areas and the other one are in the suburb. Look at it in instance where we can be able to address that about this special claim, where people in the rural areas can be able to get the very same services that people are getting in the township or in the south. So it's one of the things that we need to do and learn and try to understand what are the rules of local government. What is the difference between local government and national government? Because most of people, look at what happened in 2021. We find that most of the people didn't vote during for local government election. What they do? They went to national government. And only to find that, you know what, we are the one on the ground, are the one who's supposed to be giving services. But when you look at the national is just developing for policies, and we're all supposed to be implemented, though. It's us at the local level. So I'm just appealing to all the residents, say, look at the manifesto, know the person that you want to vote for. And what is it that that person can be able to offer or that particular party can be able to offer? Is it the thing that, you know, we are dreaming of? Because all of us are dreaming for a better future. Then our kids, is it the future that they want to have? So it's some of the things that we need. If it were go, you know, the problem is that you find that, especially the elderly, they know they've been voting for a very long time, this year, you know, it's so difficult for them to change or go to the ballot box and put a different X. But it's high time that, you know, they consider those kind of things. Say, okay, I've been voting for this particular party for the past whatever years. What is it that has benefited? Does that my quality of life has it changed or not?
So then I'm going to stop you there. I'm going to say, in closing, short, sharp, one thing that all of us here, if we call me back after the local leadership 2 months, that we can hold you accountable or to say, in your ward, where you are standing, what is the thing that you believe needs to change that you will be driving, that we can call you back here and say, how far are you on that actionable point?
I think the greatest change the PAC will go for is to change the quality of life in a particular area, in a municipality, where there's greater exchange or interchange between the councillors, the people themselves, and the officials at council, and these things run smoothly. If that happens, then we've taken a step towards our goal of liberation.
Okay, for me, it will be the better quality of life. We should be able to provide the qualities that are able to deliver. Electricity, people should be able to get electricity. Water, people no must stop eating water from the water tanks. The road has to be patched. The light has to be bought. That's the city. Don't get local government dimension.
I think for Mass Action SA, you can expect good quality counselors that will be available to assist you, counselors that can read and write, that make sure that they hold the municipality accountable. But also, you will expect us to get into your Section 152 rights, that you've got access to running water, you feel safe, we've got metro police that are capacitated, they've got the resources to do the work, that the street lights are on, potholes are repaired, and we'll make sure that we fight corruption. Because one of the things that we did do as a municipality, when we got into government, we fired 87 members of the TMQD that were not performing their jobs. But even at the high level, we removed a GSO, that is the equivalent of a deputy city manager, because he had lied in his CV. So we will be holding people accountable. Nothing new. We will be making sure that their service delivery happening and happening at the right amount. We will not be spending taxpayers' money frivolously. And just last, at Swadi, there is no lunch. Everybody breaks their scalped into work because we cannot use taxpayers' money for our own entertainment. We don't hire the buildings for conferences. We use our own state resources. So that is what you can expect from us.
So my observation, after having traveled to a lot of places in South Africa, is that people that we call councillors are so invincible, it hurts. It's far easier to know when you walk into any village, it's easier to know who the local pastor is or who the local chief is than to know who the local councillor is. They just come out of the cobwebs after 5 years so that you can vote them again. So Africa Maibuya Movement will put in councillors that will be trained to serve the people, meaning that they'll be visible every day, not just after 5 years, because there's the next round of elections.
I think that is a fantastic place. And if there's anything I've heard from all of you in countless ways, and I hope even for the listeners at home, is understanding that local government is really only as strong as the people who show up. Our vote is not a favor. So even for you, when you show up at the poll, your vote is not a favor. Use it. Use it to reward the people who deliver and use it to punish those who don't. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us and for all your comments and your questions. Thank you for being on this panel and the time that you've spent with us.